I wanted to take the time to respond to Krishy Fan, is the little screen name here of the person who's left a couple comments on the response I made to Lizzie's answers on her really bad video on faith alone salvation. this individual says there are many list of things that the Bible requires to be saved. One, baptism. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. John 3:5. John 3 verse 5 is not a reference to baptism. It's from Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, I think is the best way of understanding what Jesus is talking about there. Ezekiel 36 says in verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That really is what being born from above really means. That's what it's all about. It is about being made alive in Christ, being reborn in that sense supernaturally, which is being figuratively spoken of here. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. That is a figure of speech referring to the forgiveness of our sins. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. John 3:5 is a very commonly misunderstood passage by Roman Catholics. They think it's referring to water baptism. Let's see. They said another thing, love. Luke 10:25-28. Another very commonly misused passage. The rich young ruler, a lawyer, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Verse 29, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, why would he ask that question? Well, he's asking that question because he wants to know, who can I exclude from being my neighbor, whom I'm supposed to love? And then he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. This person evidently thinks that to inherit eternal life, we have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's actually true. If you want to go to heaven, you have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The problem is the fall of man into sin made that impossible. No one can be saved or justified by loving God. You see, this individual doesn't even realize what they're saying. If they're correct, if we get to heaven by loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we don't need a savior. The reason that we need Jesus Christ to save us is because there is not a single human being on this planet who has ever lived outside of Jesus who has loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. So this person says, well, you have to be baptized in addition to faith, and you also have to love. No, the fact that we don't love God as we should, and we don't love our neighbor as we should, that's why we need a savior. And I would say to Krishy Fan, whoever this individual is, if you do love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, you don't need a savior. You don't need Jesus. You don't need Christianity. But the Bible confines everybody under sin. Everybody is under sin, and therefore is in need of a savior. That's why Paul says in his summary in Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. And we'll get more into that later. Detachment from the world. This person says, Krishy Fan says, detachment from the world is also required in order to be saved. They cite John 12:25. Let's look at this one. John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Okay, so is that saying that by hating the world, you gain eternal life on that basis? No, what this is referring to is conversion. When a person is converted to God, when God takes that heart of stone out and gives us a beating heart of flesh that has a hunger and thirst for righteousness, yes, indeed, we will cease to love the world, at least as the ultimate seat of our affections. Yeah. What does that have to do with the grounds of our acceptance with God? Nothing. What does that have to do with how we're saved or the means by which we are saved? Nothing. Because the New Testament repeatedly affirms that we are not saved by our works. But there is a sense in which, yeah, he who loves his life, meaning he who serves sin and serves their own desires to the utmost, that person's not going to gain eternal life. But the person who learns to despise themselves and learns to despise the world around them and the sin that's in it will be the person who gains eternal life. That does not mean that by doing that, we gain eternal life by doing it. Rather, those passages and passages like them are descriptions of those who go to heaven, not discussing the means by which we get there. And so, again, it's just one of the most common errors in people's interpretation. Roman Catholics, because really in the final analysis, they don't really care what the Bible says. They'll find anything. Oh, look, God commands us to do good works here. That must mean we're saved by them. We're told to hate our life. That must mean we're saved by hating life. Or that we're saved by denying ungodliness and by pursuing the Lord. We're saved by doing those things. No, of course not. Of course not. This individual, Krishy fan, faith is just one component to be saved. There are many other things Jesus requires to be saved. Okay, I would invite you to prove that from Scripture. I answered this individual, and then they replied with, St. Paul is talking about works of law in Ephesians, Galatians, and Romans. These are circumcision and Jewish laws. You must understand the context. In fact, faith is inferior in the eyes of St. Paul. And he quotes that very commonly, another commonly miscited, misused passage, 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. You see, when a person truly is born again, it's almost like nobody even realizes that when we talk about justification by faith alone, that is how God justifies us and accepts us in his sight and adopts us into his family. God also always makes us alive in Christ. He dethrones the power of sin. That's what Romans 6 is talking about. We are made new creatures in Christ. We are conformed to his image. But that's not how we're saved. So yeah, if a person has faith, if a person has no love in their hearts, obviously they're not converted. That does not mean we are saved by loving people or by loving God. And the thing is, if you could be saved by loving people and loving God, you wouldn't need a savior. That's the problem here. And this person says, how can you ignore Luke 10:25? I didn't ignore anything. But let's talk a moment here. He's just talking about circumcision and Jewish laws. When Paul says that we're justified by faith apart from the law, apart from works of law, that's just talking about circumcision and dietary laws. Well, let's look at Romans and see real quick, since that's where a lot of those passages are found. Romans 2, verse 22. You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? I have a question. Verse 21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not make for yourself graven images. Where are those found? Are those uniquely Jewish ceremonial laws? No, those come from the Ten Commandments. When Paul uses the expression, we are justified by faith, apart from works of law, apart from deeds of righteousness we have done, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. If you're going to say that all that's just talking about circumcision, you still have to keep the law in order to go to heaven, that is not what these passages teach. Romans chapter 2 spells it out very clearly. When Paul speaks of works of law, he is not just talking about ceremonial works or dietary restrictions. He is talking about the Ten Commandments. He is talking about everything that is in the book of the law, everything. I would invite this individual, Krishy fan, to exegete Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and following. Listen closely to this. For as many as are of the works of the law, this person says, that just means circumcision and Jewish laws, like dietary restrictions. Listen to the passage. For as many as are of the works of the law, meaning as many as are trusting in their good works to get them into heaven, are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. All things in the book of the law. That would include circumcision, dietary laws, and the Ten Commandments, the injunctions to love God and our neighbor. Cursed, that is a citation from Deuteronomy 27:26. At the very end of Deuteronomy, it is, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything in the book of the law. Not just ceremonial parts, but all of it. All of it. Krishy fan, are you hearing me? Galatians 3:10, as many as are of the works of the law, who rely upon obeying the law, loving God and neighbor, and keeping the Ten Commandments, or circumcision, dietary laws, whatever laws from the Old Testament you want, they are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things, not just circumcision, not just dietary laws, all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. But that no one is justified by the law, which is what Krishy Fan is saying, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. A quotation from Habakkuk 2:4. Yet the law is not of faith, but the one who does them shall live by them. If you think that you're going to be saved by your law keeping, if you think you're going to be saved by that, then you have to keep it perfectly your whole life. You need to start out sinless and maintain that your entire life. But the problem is, Romans 3:19, that God has shut the whole world up. He has confined all under sin. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world made guilty before God. Guilty of sin before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Through the ceremonial law? Through the dietary laws? It's talking about everything in the Old Testament law. The Ten Commandments, all of it. Loving God and neighbor, all of it. And that's why we need a righteousness that is imputed to us, that's given to us apart from law, apart from works. And that's what the New Testament is talking about. I mean, how ridiculous would it be for Paul to say, yeah, you're justified by faith apart from circumcision, but you still have to keep the whole law. I mean, that's not what he's saying. The whole point is the law condemns us because nobody keeps it. You don't keep the law sufficiently to obey it, to achieve righteousness by doing that. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need his righteousness imputed to us. So that's it. It really was nothing here worth a whole lot. It's a standard responses, but the longer I live, the more I'm seeing that a lot of folks have never heard the biblical answers to these really bad objections and these really bad misuses of these passages. So I would encourage this individual to come up with a response, answer the fact that Paul doesn't mean just circumcision and dietary laws. He's talking about the whole law in Galatians 3:10 and in Romans chapter 2 and 3 and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So please do that and make your responses a little bit better, Krishy fam. Thanks for responding and thanks for watching.